ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्रीमद् भागवत गीता दिस इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांता स्वामी प्रभुपाद चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट 62 Got it there? Tameva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharata tat prasadat parang shantim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam.
We are enjoined to take full shelter of Krishna. We are enjoined to take full shelter of Krishna. With the promise that by doing so, we will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. So this is the religious hope, which atheists will dismiss as sentimentalism. And avoidance of real world realities. So it requires what is called a leap of faith to accept this. To have faith that there is an ideal goodness beyond the mixed goodness and badness of this world. Some people have the idea that this world is ultimately all good. However, Krishna points out here in Bhagavad Gita that this world is full of suffering. The two principal symptoms of this material world are dukhalayama shashvatam. It is a place of misery and nothing here remains forever. But there is another world, as referred to here in this purport. Om tad Vishnu paramam padam sada pashyanti suryoho. There is the world of Vishnu, which is the supreme abode, which the saintly persons always look toward. Now, how can we prove this to the atheist? We can't. Because the atheist has circumscribed his parameters of knowledge. In other words, he doesn't accept anything except which he can touch, taste, smell, feel, see, which he can perceive through his senses, and what he can extrapolate from that. However, Srila Prabhupada had he didn't just accept that it's a matter of faith. He didn't like that. That we're just, it's a matter of faith to believe in God. Based on the statements of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada would insist that we can understand that there is the spiritual dimension. And he used very simple examples that anyone could understand to demonstrate this. Again, from the Bhagavad Gita.
but not with Bhagavad Gita.
Most simple introductory teaching of Bhagavad Gita was one of the examples that Srila Prabhupada repeatedly cited. And without understanding which, no one can even begin to understand what is Krishna consciousness. It's based on basic use of intelligence. What is it? Dehino svinyata dehe komarang yovanang jara tata dehantara prapti hi. We see that a young boy grows up to be a man. We see that a mush, a man, gets older. I'm just in Russia, so, you know, many of the words are the same. A strong, healthy man becomes a worn-out bag of bones. A bag of bones, but it looks a little better when you're 20 years old than when you're 80 years old. As I've often quoted in my lectures, an anecdote. Many years ago, this is in the 1980s mostly, I was meeting disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. With the aim of gleaning anecdotes from them regarding their glorious spiritual master. So in Vrindavan I met one sannyasi, who, although he was quite old, was still taller than me. Even though he was quite old and bent over, he was still taller than me. Which is unusual among Bengali bodies. So he told me that in his youth he'd been a wrestler. And that he could, you know, with one hand he could pick up two people the size of me and throw them to the other side of the room. But now in his old age he needs a stick in one hand and his hand on someone else's shoulder just to go anywhere. So the example is there in Bhagavad Gita, by which we can understand the difference between the soul and the body. That the body changes. This young boy body, which is sitting here, will eventually grow up to be the age that his father is now. There's another anecdote here that one British man, he used to visit. He was living in one town in India, and he used to regularly visit one grocer's shop. And in the shop in the evening, the old grandfather would be sitting reading Ramayana. His son would be doing business. And his grandson would be playing here and there. So he left that town. the British man, but he came back after 30 years or so. And he saw the same thing. The grandfather was sitting in the corner reading Ramayana. The middle-aged man was conducting the business of the shop, and the grandson was playing around in the shop. So he asked, well, what happened? You know, 30 years went by and you're all the same. The man shop said, no, I used to be the little boy who was playing. The old man sitting in the corner was the one who you always used to speak to. And this is my son, he wasn't born at that time. So the body changes, but the person stays the same. Which, as Srila Prabhupada would always emphasize, this suggests the eternality of personality. That the even though the body, the chemicals change at every moment, and even though the mind changes at every moment, the person remains the same. Another important point which Srila Prabhupada would always emphasize is that no one, life is not a product of matter. No one can create life from chemicals. So it should be understood that life is a different phenomenon from that of matter. And so, all right, that's the first point, that the spiritual, the living being is different from matter. So this is how Srila Prabhupada would preach, especially in the Western world. And he met many representatives of the Christian religion and intellectuals and highly educated people. And he would mostly preach on this point. To try to get people to understand the basic point of the difference between matter and spirit. Between the soul and the body. Because for all their big universities and their PhDs and their Nobel Prizes, even the so-called intellectual class in the West, they don't understand this very basic point of the difference between the soul and the body. Another point that Srila Prabhupada would emphasize is that this is the main point he would emphasize, that just to try to get people to understand the difference between the soul and the body. Because as long as people think they have the body, well, as Srila Prabhupada often point out, it's just animalistic life. Then there's no other goal in their life than simply to enjoy the body. Eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. For all the sophisticated technological development and scientific so-called progress, people have no higher aim of life than to get drunk, have sex, and that's about it.
Smoke,
lie in the sun, become a stool pakora, as Suhodra Swami used to say. You have plenty of stool pakoras around here.
Зад цели този технологически напредък хората нямат друга цел, освен да идат, да спят, да пият и да пушат и да се превършат в стулпа кора.
So, Srila Prabhupada, he was very concerned to impress this understanding upon the so-called leaders of the so-called civilization of the modern world.
Srila Prabhupada искал да внуши това разбиране на така наречените лидери на така наречената цивилизация в модерния свят.
Because if people just understood this simple point, then their whole outlook would change, should change.
Защото ако хората разберат този тази проста истина, целият им начин на светоглед ще се промени.
The whole civilization at the present time is simply based on gratifying the senses.
Цялата модерна цивилизация е базирана просто на удовлетворяване на сетивата.
Which is very low class and stupid and gross and whatever other expletives you can think of.
Което е много ниша класа и глупаво, грубо, и каквато и друга епитет да може да измислите.
Of course, that is only the beginning understanding.
Разбира се, това е само началното разбиране.
It's even if we theoretically accept that we are changing from body to body to body, that in itself may not be enough to bring us to the spiritual platform.
Дори да приемем, че ние преминаваме от тяло в тяло, това може да не е достатъчно, за да ни доведе до духовната платформа.
That's only the first step in of spiritual knowledge.
Това е само първата степен в духовното знание.
For instance, Buddhists, they also, of course, when you start talking about Buddhism, it's so weird that it's difficult really to say anything about it. But just as a simplification or generalization, Buddhists also believe in reincarnation.
Buddhists също вярват в прераждането, въпреки че буддизмът е толкова странен, че много трудно да се каже каквото и да е за него. Но просто като опростяване, може да кажем.
So, for some time I was living in and attempting to preach Krishna consciousness in Thailand, which, is, as you maybe know, is an avowedly Buddhist country.
За известно време аз се опитах да проповядвам Кришна знание в Тайланд, който е, както може би знаете, много буддистка държава.
Now you might think that with such a noble ideal as that of the Buddha and his holy otherworldly teachings, or not really otherworldly, but non-worldly teachings, that the people of Thailand, being Buddhists, would be very spiritually oriented kind of people.
Човек би си помислил, че заради възвишените учения на Буда, хората в Тайланд ще бъдат много духовни, с духовни търсения.
Which anyone who's been to Thailand, which of course if you go to Bulgaria, I guess you don't need to go to Thailand because it's basically the same kind of luck. You know, it's all hot. But you know, Thailand's, it's probably in some ways it's the most materialistic country there is, in the sense of just sheer sense enjoyment, especially Bangkok, the capital city.
Но като човек отиде в Тайланд, ще види, че това е едно от най-материалистичните места на земята, особено в Бангкок.
And yeah, people like to eat all kinds of things, which I won't get into the details of here now.
Хората обичат да ядат всякакви различни неща, за които аз няма да влизам в подробности сега.
And the most important thing in life, according to the Thai outlook, of course they don't have a very developed philosophy of life, but the most important thing is sunuk, which means pleasure.
Най-важното нещо в живота на в тази живота, въпреки че няма много развита философия, е сънук или удоволствие.
Which is roughly equivalent to the Sanskrit term ananda, understood in the terms of sensual enjoyment.
Което приблизително се доближава до смисъла на санскритската дума ананда, в смисъл на сетивно наслаждение.
So, one of the favorite forms of sunuk is eating pig's flesh.
Една от най-любимите форми на това удоволствие е да се яде свинско.
So, I once asked a Thai woman, who one of the few people who was even interested to enter into any kind of discussion bordering on the metaphysical.
И веднъж аз говорих с една жена, която беше една от редките личности, които изобщо бяха склонни да влизат в някаква дискусия, която да подобява на философска дискусия.
So I said to her that by eating pork, you'll have to become a pig in your next life.
Yes, каза, като дадеш свинско месо, ти ще трябва да се родиш прасе в следващия си живот.
And she agreed. I said, well, doesn't that bother you?
Yes, каза, това не дали притеснява.
And she said no.
Не.
And I asked, well, why not?
Yes, питах, защо? Не.
He said, well, that will also be sanuk. That will also be fun. So, to understand that we are migrating from body to body to body in this life should be an awakening call to investigate the actual values of life. Atato brahma jignyasa.
Знаете, че ние се преминаваме от тяло в тяло, би трябвало да бъде едно пробуждане. За нас и то ни инициативно да задаваме въпроси до крайната цяло на живота.
But the tendency for material sense enjoyment is so strong among conditioned souls.
Но склонността към сетивно наслаждение е толкова силна сред обусловените души.
That even if they have the Vedic knowledge, they tend to misinterpret it.
Че дори те да имат ведическото знание, те го започават.
And thus they take the they become Vedavadarata, they become addicted to the words of the Vedas which promise heavenly life, sensual enjoyment.
Те стават Vedavadarata, т.е. те се привържат към думите на Ведите, които обясняват сетивни райски удоволствия.
And they wish to go to the heavenly planets.
Те искат да отидат на райските планети.
And they think we will enjoy there.
Те си мислят, ние ще се наслаждаваме там.
And we'll have to come back.
Аз няма да има нужда да се връщам тук.
Krishna speaks about this in Bhagavad Gita.
Krishna говори за това в Bhagavad Gita.
What is this? Tetang bhuktva swarga lokang vishalang shine punye matya lokang vishanti evang trai dharma manuprapana gata gatam kama kama labhante. Krishna speaks of those who perform sacrifices and pious activities. They go to the heavenly planets and enjoy for a long time. When their stock of pious results is more or less exhausted, they come down to this world again. Then, following the Vedic path again, they go up. And then they come down. And then they go up. And then they go down. And if they make a mistake like King Riga, then they go down, 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 down.
ако направят грешка, като цар Мига, те отиват надолу, надолу, надолу.
That they think Krishna speaks about this in a disparaging way, that this is stupid, obviously.
Krishna говори за това като обяснява като нещо глупаво.
But the people who follow this path, they think, oh, this is really good.
Но хората, които следват този процес, те казват, това всъщност е много хубаво.
It's great, you know, enjoy yourself for a long time, come down here, do a few sacrifices, get back up there again, and go on, have fun, sanuk.
Това е супер, просто съсъждаваш се много дълго време в райската, се вършиш тук, извършиш някои жертви помешения и отново отиваш.
Well, what about all those statements, just like Dukhalayama Shashvatam, this place is miserable, and everything here is temporary.
А какво за всички тези твърдения, като например Дукхалама Шашватам, че това място е изпълнено със страдания и временно?
What about this analysis? Janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam. This world is, one should constantly be aware of the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease.
А какво за тези твърдения, че човек трябва да винаги осъзнава за страданието на болестите, раждането, старостта и смъртта?
Well, the materialistic so-called followers of the Vedas, they think, well, that's just for the losers.
Материалистичните последователи на Ведите си мислят, о, това е просто за тези, които са пълни загубеняци.
That's for people who, you know, they can't get their act together.
Това са тези аутсайдери, които не могат да всъщност да направят нищо.
They're being unnecessarily negative.
Те са ненужно негативни.
But this is not being unnecessarily negative, this is absolutely realistic.
Но това не е ненужна негативност, а това е абсолютно човек да бъде напълно реалистичен.
There's so much suffering in the world.
Но толкова много страдания в света.
And we may try to avoid it, but we can't.
И ние можем да се опитваме да ги избегнем, но ние не можем да ги избегнем.
There's no one sitting in this room here now who is unlikely to experience some severe suffering even in this lifetime.
Няма никой, нито един от нас, който се нахвали стай, който е, на който му гарантирано, че няма да изпита някакви тежки страдания още в този живот.
For instance, toothache.
Например, боли зъба.
Now we may say, well, toothache, you know, what's that? Toothache, everyone gets a toothache.
Може си помислиме какво толкова голяма работа за бобол, всеки може да го получи.
Well, that's the whole point. Everyone gets a toothache. And it's extremely painful.
И това е идеята, че всеки го боли за понякога и това е много, много болезнено.
What to speak of the point, or headaches.
Или главоболие.
What to speak of the, I mean, even a common cold, everyone gets a cold. Isn't it two or three times a year, most people? It's a very minor thing. I mean, it's not like something we're going to, you know, get rushed to hospital with paramedics coming because you sneeze a few times. But it's miserable. And what to speak of the possibility, which is of cancer.
Rak.
Rak, yeah. Or having an accident where you have some severe pain. I mean, considering the possibility, I mean, every one of us, we've all experienced various, what we experience at the time to be intense suffering, and we're all likely to do so again in this lifetime. What to speak of the emotional suffering that is, yeah. That is caused for by the children when their parents fight with each other, split up and divorce.
Пример, причина от това, че родителите на децата се карат, накрая се развеждат.
Or if you're living peacefully in your village and all of a sudden someone, you know, a gang comes in and just burns the whole village and rapes your sister and cuts off your arm, or, you know, these kind of things. I mean, it's not unusual in the world. Or someone sets off a bomb blast, that's a good example. Just happened the other day, just a few kilometers from here, right? People were enjoying their Stool Pakora holiday, and all of a sudden, the pakora burst. The stool got splattered everywhere.
Или пък някой си живее мирно и спокойно в село, изведнъж някаква разбойническа банда откъде селото и почва да безчиства там, да изнасила сестра му, грязва му ръката. Или пък този атентат, който стана с няколко километри от тук.
So no one can deny that there is a lot of suffering in this world.
Никой не може да отрече, че има много страдания в този свят.
And as much as one tries to avoid it, it is not within our power to legislate or orchestrate that we shall not suffer within this world.
И колкото да се опитваме да го избегнем, ние не можем напълно да се предпазим от страданието.
We are forced to suffer.
Ние сме принуждавани да страдаме.
But it is our nature to desire happiness.
Но нашата природа е да желаем щастие.
Which suggests that there is a condition, there is a state that we can attain to beyond suffering.
Което показва, че има състояние и място, което ние можем да постигнем и което е вид страдание.
If we consider that as living beings, we are constitutionally different from matter.
Ако ние разберем, че като живи същества, ние сме различни по своята същност от материята.
We have desires, we have aspirations.
Ние имаме желания, мечти.
We aspire for complete, unadulterated, unlimited happiness.
Ние се стремим към пълно, неизмерсяно.
Why should that be? Now the so-called scientists, they say that life has evolved from matter. It's the survival of the fittest. But why should one group of chemicals desire to survive? Where does desire come from? Why should a combination of chemicals desire to protect other combinations of chemicals? If we say that a man wants to protect his family members, why? Why?
Защо една комбинация от химикали ще се опитва да защитава друга комбинация от химикали, например, в случая на главата на семейството, който защитава своето семейство?
Why should a combination of chemicals desire to protect that particular formation of chemicals from what is known as death?
Защо една комбинация от химикали ще се опитва да протектира тази комбинация, друга комбинация от химикали от това, което е известно като смърт?
There is no explanation for where desire comes from.
Няма обяснение откъде идва това желание.
So Srila Prabhupada, he would preach like this in a very what he would call a scientific manner, logical manner, based on Shastra.
Srila Prabhupada проповядва по този, както той го нарича, научен, логичен начин, базиран върху Шастра.
I can imagine that preaching to the tourists here wouldn't be the most easy thing if you try to preach them philosophy or any such thing to the tourists.
Аз предполагам, че се проповядва на туристите тук не е много лесно да им се говори за философия.
Because they come here with the, you know, fully with the idea of enjoying.
Защото те идват тук с пълната идея да се наслаждават.
And they're determined to enjoy as much as they can in the short break they have before they get back to the whatever else they're doing in wherever they came from.
Те са много решителни да се наслаждават колкото много повече с този тази кратка ваканция, преди да се върнат към това, което правят.
And the whole atmosphere is created for them that you are enjoying.
Цялата атмосфера, обстановка е така направена, че тя е душава. Вие се наслаждавате.
Although they never look particularly happy.
Въпреки, че те никога не изглеждат особено щастливи.
But they're kind of they're programmed that now you're supposed to, this is happiness, this is the climax of your whole year. Poor people.
Но те са така са програмирани да си мислят, че това е щастие, това е наслаждение и това е кулминацията най-хубавия момент в цялата година.
They work the whole year in a job that they don't like.
Те работят цяла година работа, която не харесват.
And then they come down here and this is supposed to be their enjoyment.
И това те идват тук и това се предполага да бъде тяхното наслаждение.
So they're fully absorbed in the now I have to fully enjoy, I have to squeeze out every drop of enjoyment.
И те мислят, сега аз наистина трябва да се наслаждавам, трябва да стискам всяка капчица наслаждение.
It's so miserable. This is the climax of their life.
Това е толкова болезнено, това е кулминацията на техния живот.
Just lying on a beach.
Просто лежейки на плажа.
Taking photos.
Правите снимки.
Going to some dance club in the evening.
Идват в някаква дискотека вечерта.
Eating, drinking.
Ядат, пият.
And then back to wherever they came from.
И се връщат обратно там, където са дошли.
It's so sad that this is the best, the high point of their life.
Толкова тъжно, че това е върхът на техния живот.
But they think I must be enjoying because that's what we're supposed to do.
Те си мислят, а аз със сигурност би трябвало да се наслаждавам, защото това е което се предполага да правя.
How is preaching to the local people? They're absorbed in making money, I guess.
Как е проповядването на местните хора? Предполагам, че те са потопени в това да правят.
One thing that we often find good is the doing Harinam on the beaches in various places. Indrajumna Swami does that in Poland and in Croatia there's a group of devotees that go around all summer on the beaches doing Harinam.
Това, което открием, че е добре да се правят харинами на плажа. Индрадивни махарач прави това в Полша, в Хърватска също има една група предани, които пътуват в цяло лято и правят харинами.
And people tend to like it.
И хората по принцип харесват това.
And although it might seem quaint to them, quaint, I don't know, you have to translate it. I don't know what it means. I don't know the word. Quaint means curious. Yeah, I guess curious, you could say curious or odd in a kind of nice way. How about that for translation?
Okay.
Not bad. Okay. You know what it means, but when you try to... Yeah, if I don't have my...
Pleasantly unusual.
Pleasantly unusual, quaint.
Unusually nice.
No. Nicely unusual is better. Nicely unusual in a kind of odd but harmless way, you could say.
Yeah.
Odd but somewhat pleasure giving and. Somewhat eccentric. Anyway, just unusual. Just say unusual. Let's make it easy here. But many people can understand also that through the thick layers of their covered consciousness, they can understand that there's something of substance here also. It's not just some folk songs.
Хората въпреки дълбокото дебелото покривало на майя, което се намира, те през него могат да разберат, че виждайки бактите, че има някаква субстанция там, има някакъв смисъл в това, което
And therefore people often ask us, well, what's it all about? That just happened the other night. We were on Harinam in Tatarstan in Russia. And some people just stopped us and asked, you know, well, what is this? What? They were just curious. They could understand it's not just some carnival.
Онзи ден бяхме на такъв Харинам в Русия и хората в един момент ни спряха и попитаха какво всъщност е това. Те разбираха, че това не е просто някакъв карнавал.
Now sometimes in our preaching, with the idea of making Krishna consciousness less proselytational, if there's any such word, or preachy, we sometimes try to present it as, you know, just something cultural or something quaint, interesting from another culture like that. Yeah, it's fun.
Нещо забавно, интересно.
It's ethnic fun.
Етнически такъв фестивал много забавен.
But we should not overplay the cultural or the festive part. I mean, that should be there, but we should also let people know, inform them that we are all burning in the fire of material existence.
И ние не трябва прекалено много да акцентираме върху тази фестивална страна на нашите програми, въпреки че те трябва да бъде там. Ние трябва да информираме хората, че ние всички горим в огъня на материалното съществуване.
That we are suffering in material existence and Krishna conscious offers an understanding of this and a way out, a solution.
Че ние страдаме в този материален свят. И Кришна се нам предлага разбиране за това и също начин как да излезем от това страдание.
Actually, the Festival of India in America, one of their main attractions is the Changing Bodies exhibit.
В Индия, в Америка, фестивалът на Индия, една от главните атракции е смяната на тялото екзибиция.
That Changing Bodies exhibit that really makes people think.
Тази изложба на смяната на тялото наистина кара хората да се замислят.
It's a very simple thing, actually.
Много просто нещо.
You know what I'm talking about? Don't know what I'm talking about. It's very effective for preaching.
Много ефективно за
It's a diorama which shows Dehino Svinyata Dehe Komarang Yovanang Jarata Ta Dehantarap. Well, it doesn't show that part, but it shows the death part. Yeah, it shows death, yeah, but it doesn't show the changing body. Yeah, it shows the tiny little baby, little bit bigger baby, then infant, and it goes like what's that called? Parabola? It goes like this, because the boy becomes older and then he gradually fades away, and then you see at the end an old man and then a skeleton at the end. So it goes like that.
Как тялото на човек се променя от бебешко тяло, след това от детско възрастно тяло на възрастен човек и след това накрая са костите.
And it really makes people think.
И наистина кара хората да се замислят.
Because they see, that's me.
Защото те виждат, всъщност това съм аз.
So it visually, graphically brings home the fact that our whole existence is brief and ephemeral.
И много графично, много ясно обяснява на хората, че цялото ни съществуване е много ефемерно и кратко.
Here, that's me now.
Ето, това съм аз сега.
That was me before, and I'm going this way, and this is inevitable.
Това съм аз сега, това бях преди. А сега завървам по другия начин и накрая смъртта е неизбежна.
So I started off reading this verse about taking full shelter of Krishna, but then I came down to discussion of basic preaching techniques and and when we come to a place like this is where people are just the whole region, its whole economic basis, well, its major economic basis is providing sense enjoyment.
Огромна част от економическата структура на това място е посветена на това да осигурява сетивно наслаждение на хората.
Very directly and grossly in the form of the tourist industry, as it's called. It's called an industry, right? They call it tourist industry, but it's industry used to mean that you produce something in a factory, but now everything's called an industry. There's the what's that called? The hospitality industry or something? It means service, prostitution. Service, yeah, service, and everything's called an industry, right? So tourism. And there's the less direct, there's the wine, grape and wine production. These are obviously the major economic supports here, although some people grow cucumbers also. But it's so pathetic that this is it. This is life. The whole endeavor of the modern civilization culminates in your 10 days or 2 weeks on the Black Sea coast. That's it. It's so pathetic. How to bring this message of Krishna consciousness to these suffering people? They don't think they're suffering, they think they're enjoying. But their enjoyment is so pathetic that you understand that it's just suffering. So, anyway, yeah, I see. Several devotees here are dedicated to preaching and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So, please do what you can to help these people. Become fixed in this understanding of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada gave us. And try to communicate that to others. Inevitably. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions, protests? Protests are the most fun. Okay.
I think it's a little bit over cynical to say that the only enjoyment people have is drinking, smoking.
No, they pass tool also.
But the point is, that's not really true. That's not a fair argument, because what really people are focused on is their family and relationships.
Love. Yeah, yeah, love, yeah.
I mean, I was thinking this morning about the guy who put his foot on the railway track when they were trying to stop that nuclear train.
What's that? I never heard about that. Tell me about it.
It was a protester.
Where?
There's a lot of them. They were trying to stop.
Where?
It was in America.
Yeah.
Or it was in middle America, South America. It might have been Nicaragua or something. I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was an American guy. Anyway, they all had their legs on the railway track and they were trying to stop the train.
What, a nuclear train? What's that nuclear train?
It was carrying some kind of toxic nuclear waste.
Nuclear waste, I see.
Anyway, the guy, everybody ran across because the train just came anyway, but this one guy didn't. He kept his leg on the train, lost his leg as a result.
Yeah.
So people do sacrifices, you know. They're not they do. All just...
That's true, but ultimately...
If you look at people in general,
yeah.
It, relationships and love,
yeah.
And what they do for their family is their main enjoyment. I wouldn't say drinking is one.
Well, but the idea of... you want to translate that? The idea that it's an overly denigrating perspective to say that people are just interested in drinking and smoking and they love their families and their real enjoyment is in coming to here is not it's not the drinking and smoking per se, but it's the rasa they get from it, the sakya rasa and the vatsalya rasa and the shringara rasa they get from being with their families. And, you know, some people are good because they give their regular contributions to Greenpeace and save the whale. And some
a lot of people are noble and they sacrifice.
They're noble and they sacrifice. They work for causes.
Lying on a beach.
They're not all lying on a beach. Okay.
И това е тяхното удоволствие. А много хора всъщност се наслаждават и ценят повече отношенията в семейството. Има много хора, които жертват времето си, някакво жертват и живота си за някакви висши каузи. И това беше.
So there are good people with higher aims of life.
Има добри хора с висши идеали в живота.
They want peace in the world.
Те искат мир в света.
And justice. So that everyone can live nicely together. So that when people come here, no one will blow them up. So they can live peacefully and happily in this world and mutually enjoy sense gratification. So, you can say that like the smoking and drinking and sexing, it's all the grossest manifestation of what everyone wants to do. They want to live with peace and justice, liberté, égalité, fraternité, and all this kind of thing. So they can all live happily and enjoy sense gratification, either gross or subtle.
Те искат тези неща, свобода, братство, равенство, за да могат просто да всички да живеят заедно и да се наслаждават на своето наслаждение грубо или по-фино.
And they can enjoy with their family members.
И да се наслаждават заедно с техните семейства.
Yeah, that's the whole. The idea of love in this world is mutual sharing of sense gratification.
Любовта в този свят се приема, се разбира като взаимно удовлетворяване и споделяне на сетивните
наслаждения. And actually that is the definition of love, either material or spiritual.
Всъщност това е дефиницията на любовта в духовен и в материален смисъл.
Атендрия прити ванча таре бале кам кришнендрия прити ичча дхаре преманам. The idea of satisfying one's own senses is called material lust.
Идеята да се наслаждават това се нарича материална похот.
And the motive to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses is called prem or pure love of God.
А мотивът да се наслаждава трансценденталната на Кришна се нарича према или любов към Бога.
So personal sense enjoyment that can that's not always or not even usually simply centered on oneself.
Личното егоистично сетивно наслаждение не е винаги или даже обикновено насочено към самия себе си.
One gains pleasure in sharing within a limited group also.
Човек получава удоволствие също като споделя с определена група.
So someone sacrifices for the sake of their family. to offer their country with the idea that this is my group. And within our group, we all want to enjoy mutual sense gratification. If necessary, or maybe preferably at the expense of others. If necessary, so it's true, it might be somewhat stereotyping to say lying on the beach, smoking, drinking, although a lot of people do that, which is what they're doing here. But that is the grossest manifestation of the desire to enjoy this world separately from Krishna. It all eventually comes down to personal sense gratification. I mean, even the guy who lay on the railway tracks when the train carrying nuclear waste ran over him and he lost his legs, I mean, you may say he's a very noble person. And relatively speaking, that's true. He has a more noble purpose to life than someone whose only aim is to eat sausages and drink beer. But then the anti-nuclear waste dumping activist who loses his legs for the cause, yeah, that's quite a lot at one time. I mean, his ultimate conception is that we'll all live happily in this world together with no exploitation and no nuclear waste and all this kind of thing. So it's also foolishness, not seeing the eternal, not seeing the miserable nature of this world. So ultimately it all comes down to foolishness also. And although some people may be relatively more noble and relatively less gross, Parabhavastavadabodhajatayavannajignyasataatmatatvam. Yeah, I'll give the translation of that afterward. Some people may be less gross and more noble. As long as one does not inquire into the actual nature of reality and the nature of the self, the nature of eternality, then all one's endeavors are simply defeated.
No, докато човек не започне да задава въпроси за абсолютната природа на реалността, всичките му за Бога, всичките му опити и усилия са напразни.
For instance, if we see the history of the Western world,
например, ако видим историята на Западния свят,
and by the Western world, we particularly mean like Western Europe and America, because those of us who are from that part of the world know that in the eyes of the people from that part of the world, that is the epicenter of the whole world. I mean, places like Bulgaria don't really count. They're only for going on holiday to, right?
Pretty much. Смятат, че това е всъщност света. А места като България не се броят, те са просто човек да дойде на ваканцията.
So the whole phenomenon of the Enlightenment I don't know your language. You have to translate it, you know.
What?
You don't have that word? Sounds like it should be in most languages. The whole thing, the whole gittimigaggle of the Enlightenment that, and people started thinking in humanistic terms. And being less parochial, you know what that means, like small-minded. And gradually, humankind has become more enlightened. You know, at one point, maybe the first big step forward was that women got souls. And what happened to all the... No, it's at least for the first 1200 years of Christianity. Was it only 200 years ago? Yeah. Still the animals don't have, but... The women they didn't have souls, and then, you know, they eventually got votes, and then slavery was stopped, and then they allowed the blacks and the whites to sit in the bus together. Although they don't really allow it that much, but at least and the Jews and the Gypsies, we're not supposed to discriminate against them anymore. Roman, not Gypsies. And so, I mean, life has become better. We've become more open-minded and understanding and all this kind of thing.
Живота стана по-хубав. Ние сме по-широки в кръни, разбираме повече неща, по-демократични, по-либерални.
And it's like Catholics and Protestants aren't fighting each other much these days.
Католиците и протестантите не се избиват чак толкова много.
I mean, in this part of the world, you never had that, but... The history of Western Europe is a large part of it is Catholics and Protestants killing each other. I guess around here there was more like Muslims and Christians and whatever. But anyway, we've got better now because we understand we all have equal rights and. There should be tolerance and all this kind of thing. Human rights, we have the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. So things should be getting better. But it's not. In many ways, human society is in more of a mess than it's ever been. And even though until relatively recently it was considered just normal for one country to invade another just because they wanted to. And at least according to those who subscribe to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, you're not supposed to do that anymore. But it goes on anyway, in the name of human rights. I mean, those poor Iraqis under Saddam Hussein didn't have any human rights. But now they have. There's little collateral damage in the form of, you know, probably a couple of million of them being killed. But we have civilized them. We've given them democracy. Funny that we didn't think of it in Saudi Arabia yet. But maybe we'll wake up to that a little later if they stop cooperating with us. So it's apparently high thinking, but people don't actually transcend their basest motivations without having actual knowledge of the soul. I mean, there are many people who are, they, you know, they talk about this conspiracy, Jewish conspiracy, and so many different things. There are many people who have seen the discrepancies in human society. But they have no solution. I mean, even if you uncovered all the conspiracies and you imprisoned all the, because we don't believe in capital punishment, you imprisoned all the nasty people who are running the world in a very bad way and found out who's got all the directors of Monsanto and sentence them to work for the rest of their life, hard labor on organic farms, then that wouldn't actually solve the problem. We could sentence them to only eat their own food. Organically modified pigs, genetically modified. You eat it. Just like this Rupert Murdoch, when he was asked, do you let your own children watch the TV program? He said, no way. But it's not a solution for it doesn't overcome the lower nature. In other words, if you kick out one group of despots or whatever you want to call them, then another group will come in. So purification of consciousness is required, upliftment of consciousness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't only point out the problems in human society. And actually he was way ahead of everyone else in doing so. At a time when most people still believed the United Nations had good intentions, Srila Prabhupada called it an assembly of barking dogs. At a time when hardly anyone was thinking about it, Srila Prabhupada pointed out the cheating and exploitation inherent in paper money. And although nowadays many people are concerned about alternative energy and this and that, Srila Prabhupada, he had his own solution to that. Alternative energy is bull power. You don't need all these different devices and electronic gadgets. Live simply in Chan Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he pointed out so many discrepancies in human society.
Забелязва толкова много проблеми в човешкото общество.
But his proposed solution was not to substitute another, a more pious form of sense gratification. See, this is the problem with your nuclear waste protesters and your Greenpeace. They just want to substitute a what they consider to be a less harmful form of sense gratification.
Това е проблема с този пример, с този активист срещу ядрените отпадъци. Те просто се опитват да заменят положението с някаква по-безвредна форма на сетивно наслаждение.
So however much they want to get free of injustice and exploitation, they cannot, because inherent in the motive for sense gratification is exploitation.
И колкото да се опитват да се спасят тези хора от експлоатацията, те не могат да го правят, защото заложено в мотива за сетивно наслаждение е точно експлоатацията.
So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to set up Varnashram society and to create a new class of brahmanas who, by their knowledge of the nature of this world and of the spiritual world, and by their ideal character, could guide human society on the right course.
По своето знание за този свят, за духовния свят и по силата на своя идеален характер да водят останалите хора.
And this is why I really don't like this idea of just trying to make Krishna consciousness into some acceptable kind of religion.
Затова аз наистина не харесвам тази идея да се направим Кришна съзнание като някаква приемлива форма на религия.
Where we can all, you know, hold a candle together with some Buddhists and some Christians and this and that, and link arms and say hallelujah with them.
In a big circle. Where we just hold hands with Buddhists and Christians.
And anyway, the people who go to interfaith conferences, they're all the same kind, whichever religion they're from. They're not like the hardcore. They're all the liberalized ones. They don't really represent the religion that they're supposed to, because most of the people in their own religion wouldn't go to an interfaith conference.
И както де, тези интерфейт срещи, хората, които ги посещават, от която де религията са, те всъщност не са тези най-стриктните последователи на тази религия, защото тези, които са стриктни, те няма да отидат на такава среща.
But why have we taken up Krishna consciousness if it's just the same as something else, except that we jump around on the streets in orange bedsheets? If we don't understand that this is a scientific knowledge of the nature of reality plus the solutions, this is not just some other faith, blind faith, then what are we doing in this movement at all? Srila Prabhupada didn't like Krishna consciousness to be presented as a religion. There's that essay which appears in the Science of Self-Realization, not in the Russian edition, it's been left out of there, called Krishna Consciousness, Hindu Cult or, I can't remember, Divine Culture, question mark.
Има една сцена ще пропада, която е част от книгата Науката за себе реализацията, не е в руското съзнание, което се казва Кришна съзнание, Hindu или Divine Culture.
Yeah.
Или божествена култура.
So in the first sentence, Srila Prabhupada writes that many people within India and outside India think that Krishna consciousness is Hinduism, but actually Krishna consciousness has got nothing to do with the Hindu religion or with any other kind of religion.
Шри Прабхупада пише в първото изречение, много хора в и извън Индия си мислят, че Кришна съзнание е хиндуизъм. Всъщност обаче Кришна съзнание няма нищо общо с хиндуизма, нито пък с някаква друга форма на религия.
Similarly, in the Science of Self-Realization, there's an interview where one journalist asked Srila Prabhupada, could you tell us what you believe? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, da. It is not a question of belief. So, those who are actually Brahmins in Krishna consciousness, they should understand the mission of Srila Prabhupada. We're not just trying to propagate some weird Hindu cult. But the Krishna conscious movement is supposed to give solutions to mankind in its most misled situation at the present time. And to each individual, how we can get free from birth, death, old age and disease and achieve the highest happiness eternally. There is a practical process for all of this which everyone can partake in. Yeah, anything else?
How we can realize that we are not this body?
We can realize we're not this body when we act on the platform of not being the body. Well, first thing is to understand it, then comes realization. We can understand that we are not the body because I had a child body, you had a child body. That body is no longer there. I am still the same person. I am not a combination of chemicals. So I am not the body. So that we can understand this. And realization comes when we act on the platform of not being the body. When we stop acting for bodily gratification and act for the pleasure of Krishna, that is realization. Which becomes stronger as we go on with it. To take the vow to engage in Krishna consciousness means that we've realized that I'm not the body. At least there is primary realization. Anything more now?
Въпросът ми е свързан с това. Може ли човек, който работи примерно в Слънчев бряг, в средата на силно поведение, той въпреки това да напредва в духовния живот?
Can somebody who works, let's say, in these places here, in those places, in the midst of all the sanctification, also advance in Krishna consciousness?
Theoretically one can advance in Krishna consciousness in any situation. Even in the midst of all this sense gratificatory atmosphere. But generally, a suitable atmosphere is recommended. One should seek good association. If one associates with sense gratifiers, it becomes more difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. So it is possible to practice Krishna consciousness in any circumstance, but definitely some circumstances are more favorable for doing so than others. That's one major reason why we have ashrams, where people come together for the purpose of practicing Krishna consciousness together, to help support each other and reinforce each other's commitment. That makes sense, doesn't it? Srila Prabhupada, in the Nectar of Instruction, he gives the example, just like there's this, the Chamber of Commerce, businessmen come together to, by associating with each other, they help each other and in their business practices. So he says, similarly, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is formed so that people with the same motive can come together and assist each other in their mutual endeavor to serve Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. One more question. Comment.
Just to add, to, if I may, just to put a little.
Yeah, go on. Shoot away.
To your final comment, that the holy name alone can render all benedictions to the living beings, and so really, even with good association. But to take shelter of the holy name gives you the strength.
To take shelter of...
If you take shelter in the holy name...
Yeah, that's true. Whatever situation one's in, if one takes shelter of the holy name, one gets strength. That's a fact. But it's also true that if you're in association with people who are committed to taking shelter of the holy name, it becomes easier to take shelter of the holy name than if you're associated with people who are committed to simply enjoy this material world.
Well, they can even drive them to China.
Possibly, yeah. Still, it's recommended to associate with devotees rather than not.